Relationships and Recovery Workshop. I'm actually not supposed to be up here. Our MC is stuck on the mountain with a bunch of other people, if you might know. So I am speaking on the fly, but I prayed, so you know, that's all I can do. So let's say a prayer for them. There's a bus going to get everybody, which will be there in about an hour, and they've been there for 3 hours. So they are working on several of their character defects as we speak, as I would be if I were up there. I'll just kind of tell you guys a little bit about how this workshop came into being. There's a big Al-Anon, or there's a big committee meeting for FOTS that has a conscience and plans this conference. And then there's also a smaller Al-Anon committee meeting that meets, that plans the Al-Anon portion. And we spent a lot of time talking about, in both meetings, talking about the traditions and whether or not to include them in the conference. And we decided as a full committee not to include the traditions because we felt like we couldn't do them justice. And we also felt like that we were doing a lot of work. Hi, Tim. Do you have something else? Yes.
There is some cars parked in a dirt area by the lift, a BMW, a Prius, and a Mercedes that are in the ambulance area, and they're going to be towed unless they're moved immediately. So if you're parked over there.
Okay. Thanks, Tim. No problem. All right. Okay. Nobody's getting up, so I guess we're all right. They're probably on the mountain. That, oh man. Oh! Woo! You know, a God of my understanding knows that one of my prayers is, really? Where was I? Okay, so we felt like we couldn't do the traditions justice, so we decided not to include them this year. But while we were having these discussions over several meetings in the big committee, the Al-Anon committee was meeting, and we felt like the traditions were really important to us. And good Al-Anons in recovery, we were tired of waiting for the alcoholics to decide what we were going to do with our lives. And we decided we were going to hold the traditions, a traditions workshop, regardless of what the committee decided to do. So that's the truth. That's what happened. And we decided that we were going to sacrifice one of our open Al-Anon meetings in order to do that. So this is in place of an open Al-Anon meeting. And I want to thank the panelists for being here. So the reason that it's called Relationships and Recovery is because we wanted to smuggle the traditions in there because we wanted people to show up. Yes. And you did, and I'm grateful. Thank you for participating in that manipulation. Yes. If you want to get up and leave, it's fine. If you're like, oh man, they got me. Those Al-Anons. So to open it up, I just wanted to read a little bit. This is a reading that's very important to me. Helps me with my boundaries. It's Encouraged to Change, one of our Al-Anon Deity readers. It's one to get. This is my favorite. And this is on page 201 on July 19th. Al-Anon taught me the difference between walls and boundaries. Walls are solid and rigid. They keep others out, and they keep me trapped inside. Boundaries are flexible, changeable, removable. So it's up to me how open or closed I'll be at any given time. They let me decide what behavior is acceptable, not only from others, but from myself. Today I can say no with love instead of hostility, so it doesn't have to put an end to my relationships. I've learned that boundaries from Al-Anon's own set of boundaries, the 12 traditions. Although their purpose is to protect Al-Anon, they actually encourage the growth of this fellowship. It is true of my personal boundaries as well. As I decide what is and what isn't acceptable for me, I learn to live protected without walls. And that, I felt, was the spirit with which we wanted to have this discussion today. Just a little bit about the way that I use my the traditions in our relationship. Stephen and I have been married for 2 years now. We just celebrated our second anniversary. And it's the longest relationship I've ever had in my life and the healthiest. And I think it's because we practice the traditions and because our relationship is based on God, not on each other. And that's the sole reason that our relationship is as successful. But we've had to plan several huge events in our lives. We built a house. We planned a wedding. We've had tragedies in our lives in the last few years. We've moved 4 times in 4 years. And moving with an Al-Anon and an alcoholic, I don't recommend it. It's like, you know, we're both just OCD and crazy. But we've done a lot, but what we decided was that we were a committee of two and that we were not going to, we were going to listen to some advice if it was invited in, but we were not going to listen to other people who were trying to put their ideals upon us with those decisions. And that's the first tradition. You know, our common welfare comes first. The other thing that I want to say, the other thing that we do is we have a rating system. And whenever we really want something, whenever there's a disagreement, and we don't fight, we'll disagree. We've never fought. Neither one of us have called either one a name, never raised our voice to each other. And that's a spiritual practice that's very important to both of us. But one of the things that we do is we do this rating system to figure out where we're at. So if one of us really wants something or we're disagreeing about something, we'll do the rating system, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you want this? And we do that because we just decided that a 4 shouldn't be telling a 10 what to do. And that's just how we live our lives. And we didn't come up with that, that's God. God gave us that tool. And we use it. And so we, as long as we come from that place, we're okay. And the other relationships that we have in our lives today are based on the traditions, and we have walls around our relationship, but also around our extended families. And it's because we are able to open and close those doors, because we're not rigid, because we're flexible, like in that reading. We are able to have successful relationships today. And not all the time. I still screw up. He still screws up. We all do, right? We're human, and none of us are saints. But we can come back from it in a way that's effective and successful in our lives. And I just really thank this program for that and for helping me develop the relationships that I have in a way that was never thought possible. So with that, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Shannon, who's going to talk for a few minutes. Thank you.
My name's Shannon. I'm a member of Al-Anon. There. Also a recovered alcoholic. 3 years ago, Al-Anon saved my life for the second time. Alcoholics Anonymous did for the first time in August of 1997. A little bit about myself. I met my now wife in November of 2003. She apparently, I'm not going to talk much about her, but it's just part of our story. She apparently had been exploring the idea of Al-Anon or wanted to go to Al-Anon, something like that. She met me and I was 5.5 years sober, and I was in the middle of a set of steps with a man who did step work in a way that radically changed my life. I had multiple spiritual awakenings, and we started dating, and maybe that spring, that next spring, decided to go to one of his 12-step workshops, which went on for several months, all 12 steps, very interactive. So our relationship pretty much from the beginning was grounded in the 12 steps, first of Alcoholics Anonymous and then for her in Al-Anon. And then, as I said, I found Al-Anon 3 years ago when I was crumbling on the inside. My external world was fantastic and still is, and I didn't know what was wrong, and I was doing all the right AA stuff, right? So I found that I needed this program as badly as I needed Alcoholics Anonymous. So our relationship is firmly grounded in the foundation of the 12 steps of recovery. And a few years into that, we started looking at the traditions, and we've done that in different venues. I used to go to a traditions meeting. I've done traditions with friends in the program. I've taken sponsees through the traditions. I am fortunate enough to be in a community of recovery where, you know, we all go out to lunch and we're like, hey, let's, you know, what does Tradition 5 mean to you? You know, we have these conversations, and I love it because I get so much perspective from my fellows, and it greatly enhances my life. So the funny thing about the traditions is I realize that we use them constantly in our relationship without really realizing it. Like, there will be a conversation or a decision to be made or some sort of interaction, and I'll be like, oh, that's kind of like Tradition 4, you know, which speaks to autonomy. You know, I am autonomous except for as it affects the group, and we're a group, right? Or my Al-Anon group, or at work, or, you know, whatever your group is in whatever context. So I'm autonomous, right? I'm a free person in my relationship. We don't have rules. I love Jessica's lead-in. There are no walls. This is all, you know, everybody's free to move about the cabin, you know? As I told a friend of ours, as I told a friend of ours recently, the only rule in our house is no smoking, and that's fortunate because neither of us smoke. And our friends know to go out back or out front. But that's really the only rule. And, you know, I mean, there's probably those unspoken things, like we don't do violence in our home, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and as Jessica talked about, you know, our common welfare does come first. You know, as long as we have unity, we can go forth and do other things. We put our programs first. You know, in God, of course, that's the root of all that. And then we go out and we are able to perhaps help each other or help other people, you know, or other people help us, whatever. Yeah, that unity is really important. And as you know, I'm sure we're all in relationships, whether it's your intimate relationship in your home or someone you're dating or your relationships at work or with your family. There's a lot going on there. You know, intimacy is very, very tricky, and it's like, okay, so when do I get to be autonomous? When do I get to just say, you know what, I'm going out tonight. See you later. You know, and do I do that? And is, what, you know, the spirit behind that, you can imagine that's a little like, you know, not respectful. I didn't say, you know, do you care? Do you feel like doing this? Do you want to come with me? Do you mind if I go? You know, we have those conversations because it does affect the other person. So there's this delicate balance there. And, you know, I don't know how to speak to that any more specifically because, again, it's contextual and it's dependent upon the individuals in the relationship. You know, it just popped into my head. Tradition 2. For our group purpose, there's but one authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. We conscience all the time. And again, I didn't really realize that. And this may sound silly to you, but one of the things that I remembered was we were having some remodeling done in our basement, and we had to choose a color of grout for some tile or something, you know. I mean, and if you've done this, you know this is just not a straightforward process. The color you thought was going to match looks terrible. It looks yellow. You don't want yellow, you know. And we're at Home Depot for God knows, you know, the fourth, fifth time probably. And we're standing there looking at these samples, and we've got the tile or whatever, and we're just, like, baffled. Like, we don't know what to do. Now, this is first world problems. This is not, you know, I know. But in my past, I could easily devolve into an argument about it because I'm sick of it. I don't want to spend time doing it. The cat just died a couple months ago. I could give a... you know what, about the remodel in the basement. You know what I mean? I just didn't have the energy for it. And so what we did was we stopped and we held hands and we prayed in Home Depot. And I didn't know if that was weird or I didn't care. Actually, I didn't care. Because I need guidance, you know, and I need guidance on things that small because I need to move on and do maybe some more important things than that. And we prayed, and we looked up again at those same stupid colors, and we picked one, and it was fine. It was perfect. You know, it matched. We adopted a cat back in November, and there was, you know, we're at the Humane Society, and there's the young kitten who you know is going to go tearing across your face in the middle of the night with claws. You know, I mean, it's a kitten, right? You got to be ready for this. If that's what you want, you're going to have to deal with some stuff. And then there was this older cat, maybe a year, 10 months or a year. We liked them both. We didn't know what to do. What's the best for our family? We've got two dogs. We sat down in the middle of the Humane Society and prayed and said, God, please show us which animal is supposed to come into our home. And one of the other one of the volunteers walked by and said, Shannon, are you okay? Because I looked like I was like holding hands and crying with somebody, you know. They probably thought somebody died. I'm like, no, we're adopting a cat. It's not that big a deal. But we got the right cat. I mean, we really literally did. This cat is perfect for our home in so many ways. And so I think just, you know, God is behind all this stuff. God is behind the steps. God's behind the traditions. God's behind the concepts. And that's where ultimately all the guidance comes from. But the principles of the steps and the principles of the tradition give me very specific information, like when I don't know what to do. So, you know, for instance, Tradition 7, you know, we're fully self-supporting, right? I make my contribution to the family. Now, obviously, we're talking financial, probably anyway. Most people do to some extent. But there are a lot of other ways that we contribute, you know, and there are certain jobs that I just sort of do in the house, and there are certain jobs that she just does. And if somebody is really busy that week or somebody's sick or, you know, working extra or whatever, the other person just picks up the slack. We don't even really ever talk about who's going to do the dishes. It just happens. I cannot tell you that I've ever had my life go that smoothly, ever, in or out of relationship. And I think it's because I have this very specific guidance. And if I don't know what to do, I can stop and I can ask. And I, you know, I've done enough of the traditions where I kind of have them memorized. I understand what each one is. What do I need to use in this situation, God? You know, what, kind of like the big book even says, you know, what would God have me be? That's in any given situation. You know, I left a meeting this morning to talk to somebody who needed to talk. And I prayed first. I didn't think, oh, but I want to be in a meeting or I don't want to be in a meeting. It wasn't that. It was like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? You know, and that's maybe a little conscience in my head. But I feel like the more I remember to pray and ask for help, whether it's, again, from traditions, you know, what tradition do I need to use or what step do I need to use, it's always, God, what do you want me to do? And I think that's, it's used to be a lot of effort involved because I couldn't remember what all the traditions were. But it's become almost second nature. How am I doing on time? I'm pretty much wrapped up. according to my friend Jessica. I don't think I have anything else to say. I could talk forever about the traditions and, you know, how they've changed my life in a personal sense, whether, again, it's about, you know, being in my neighborhood or my home or with my friends or in my AA group or my Al-Anon group. But I'm really glad you guys are all here. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Jessica.
Thanks, Shannon. Next, I'd like to introduce Suzanne.
Hi, my name's Suzanne S., and I've been a member of Al-Anon since March 6, 2004. And my home group is the Edit Group. And then this weekend, the Edit Club is moving to Alameda in Lakewood on Green Mountain. So if anyone wants to attend that meeting, it's Saturday mornings at 9:30 on Alameda in Green Mountain. You know, I grew up in a family that was afflicted by the family disease of alcoholism. And there was just so many things I didn't learn that I felt like the rest of the world knew about relationships. And I was often kind of out of my mind. And I knew I was out of line a lot, but I didn't really know how to do anything about it. And getting into this program, well, I started to actually change before I met Shannon. But when I met her, I then got introduced to the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. And so, like she said, the very beginning of our relationship, I was learning a new way to relate with people. And a lot of the things it was like the education on relationships that maybe I didn't learn in my home. Because I learned or believed that what you did was a reflection of me, what I did was a reflection of you, and I needed to take care of your feelings, and you needed to do stuff so I could feel okay about myself, and I was really insecure, and you can just imagine. And so from the very beginning, after starting to work the steps and the traditions, it really opened up my mind on how different relationships can be. And I wanted to talk about, the idea of autonomy. And I'll just give you a story. So a couple of years ago, I was in a job and I really hated it. And I just was not comfortable there. I didn't feel like I had a purpose, and I just wasn't feeling good about myself. And so, you know, in my character defect, I decided to start focusing. I was also in financial fear. So I just decided to start focusing on Shannon's career. And so, you know, I knew enough about the traditions that really my opinion of her career is an outside issue. And I don't have any business telling her what career she needs to have. As long as we're both self-supporting and bringing a contribution to the household and the relationship, I don't get to tell her what she needs to do. And so, for the most part, I was able to keep my mouth shut. But on the inside, I'm frantically working the steps with my sponsor and more than one phone call about her career. And my sponsor would tell me, well, you're not exactly happy with your job right now. And so as I worked the steps, I was able to let go of what she was doing, you know, and work on my own autonomy. Because that's not autonomous if I need her to change her career so that I can feel better about myself. And so, sure enough, did inventories and did the work. And it was kind of an amazing day. I was having lunch with my sponsor and I told her, you know what? I surrender. If God wants me to stay at this job, I'll stay. If God wants me to leave, I'll leave. I go to work the next day and I got laid off. And even though that was really difficult, you know, and it really brought up my my financial insecurity, but in a lot of ways, I gained this new trust in God. And I forgot what I was going to say. But the amazing thing was I stopped paying attention to her career. And within a short period of time, she started working on her career. And it wasn't because I was pushing on her. You know, it's just like I started focusing on me, not using her as a diversion. And I hope that most of it she wasn't aware of, but she can. You have to ask her. You know, and because I got laid off, you know, we had to have some pretty serious conversations about money. And I'm in a lot of fear doing inventory about that. And I think she'll think this is okay, but when we talk about money, just for historical reasons, she gets really nervous. You know, like, oh, we're talking about money. Uh-oh. And so what we would do is say, okay, let's talk about money next Thursday, you know, when we're both well-rested, you know, and we sit down and we pray right then, because, you know, and I would be really respectful of her fear of the conversation, and I would be really aware of what I was bringing to the table. And so, you know, that bringing God into that group conscience really made a difference. And we were able to go through our budget and, you know, figure out how I could be although I wasn't bringing in income, I could still be a contributor to the family by doing certain things around the house. Okay, we're going to get rid of this luxury or whatever, first world problem, and I'm going to start doing that on my own. And so we've been able to really go back to the traditions and bring them in. It's not always my first instinct, but, you know, with working with a sponsor and having these in the back of my head to know when I'm about to step over that line really is important, and it's made a difference in our relationship. Thanks.
Thanks, Suzanne. Next, I'd like to introduce Jackie.
Good afternoon. I'm Jackie Marie Louise, a very grateful member of Al-Anon. You know, when I was asked to do that, the word humble comes to my mind. This humbles me. I am so very grateful to have been given the gifts that I was given, to be able to have in my life today such a different life. And I'm going to even say better life than I had when I walked in the doors of Al-Anon. As I was listening to the 12-step workshop, phenomenal. I got really fired up. And what dawned on me was 31 years ago today, there was a woman who walked into Al-Anon and she had two small children. And 10 years later or so, I met that woman. And that woman gave me something to share. And that's the gift. I'm going to start at the end. And the reason I'm going to start at the end is because I don't have a lot of time. And I had this whole plan and I had this whole idea. I wrote it all out. I'm not going to read it. my best thinking. But I want to start at the end because I want you to hear the miracle of recovery in relationships. Today I'm married to a man I love so very deeply. We will be married 16 years in September. When I met him, I'm going to read just a couple little lines here from the Bedevilments. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Until I walked in here, I was also thinking about my prior relationships. What would I describe them as? Long-term? No. Marital? Certainly. Were all four of them legal relationships? Yeah, I don't know. Two of them I actually took the vows. Needless to say, I had problems with personal relationships. I had a girlfriend who called me the walkout queen of the world. She was right. My sponsor had taken me through these steps, and I met this man. I told God, I said, you know, I don't want a relationship. I really don't want a relationship. It's not going to be good. I don't want it. And I meant that with all my heart and soul. About 2 weeks later, this guy we worked in the same building started asking me to go dancing with him. So I went, and I told my sponsor that I couldn't have a relationship, that I was not healthy enough to have a relationship. I think she said something really weird to me, something about, we'll go get healthy first. Something along those lines, I don't know. Anyway. Needless to say, he and I dated, he and I moved in together, he and I got serious, he and I were going to get married, and I, as always and usual and still today, have complaints about him. And I would go to my sponsor with my complaints about him, and she would tell me, go read the traditions, call me back, tell me what you are not doing. Oh, okay. 3 years after we were dating, we married. within a year of that marriage, things were falling apart rapidly. I was going to Al-Anon, I was meeting, you know, going to my meetings, I was sponsoring others, I was, you know. But my marriage was falling apart. I went to my sponsor and said, my marriage is falling apart. I was obsessed with whatever he was obsessed with. I was absolutely obsessed. He could have been drinking. It wouldn't have made any difference. I was still obsessed. I worked my steps in the space of about 3 weeks, and my sponsor told me it will get better, and I said she was full of it. I told her to her face that time. I don't believe you. Anyway, I worked my steps, and she had me do this thing, and that's the other thing I wanted to read out of the big book, because for me, it's one of the most important things that I've done with my steps. And it is in the sex inventory. And basically, it says, in this way, we tried to shape a sane and sound ideal for our future sex life. My sponsor had me take the word sex out and put in my future life as a wife, my future marriage. And then we went on to sponsor, sponsee, employer, and employee, and friend, and daughter, and mother, and I wrote ideals. The most powerful thing for me is that I have a piece of paper that I keep with me that has my ideals for a marriage and ideals how I'm going to behave as a wife. And they're really important to me. Well, the whole idea was I went and told him that, you know, this wasn't working for me and I wasn't okay with what he was doing. And he said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. My sponsor told me to wait and see what God had to say. And years later, he was working the program and working with a sponsor. And he had another thing we did, he had asked his sponsor, who was married to my sponsor, but he had asked him to help him with his finances, of all things. So my sponsor calls me and says, you know, we've talked about it. We don't know how it's going to work if both of you don't work together. What do you mean, work together? Pray for the willingness. I really wish you wouldn't say those things to me, because then I'd pray for the willingness. And if you've prayed for the willingness from your heart, you know what happens. A week later, I'm on the phone to her and going, okay, I'm running out of options. Let's do this. And her husband and she went to Debtors Anonymous, actually, and got a lot of information on their 12 steps. And they put together a whole 12-step program for us. Helped us set up a budget. Helped us work together. And in 3 or 4 years, we were out of debt. I'd like to tell you we stayed that way. but we didn't. 3 minutes? Oh, okay. Anyway, so we did this. We practiced these principles. We tried to work this program. Life rocked on. Our daughters grew up, and there were things that I was doing in my marriage that I had to learn to change. It was not my house, it was not my daughters, and it was not my car. It was our house, our daughters, our car. Our was a really hard word, and still is today, for me to put into my vocabulary. We are a partnership. Ours. New Year's Day 2012, I asked my husband to move out. And I didn't do that because I was mad at him or because it wasn't, you know, what I'd realized was for years I had spent trying to get him to believe those ideals that I had written. I had tried my hardest to make him believe that that was what was supposed to happen. And I'd worked with my sponsor very closely the last 6 months of her life on this issue. And I looked at those ideals, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I was at a stalemate in my relationship. And I looked at the traditions, and I was at a stalemate, and there was only two of us. There's not a majority. She called it a fundamental difference of opinion. And I finally got to the point where I realized that I loved him, and he could be who he wanted to be, and I didn't have to change him. But I also didn't have to live with it. I call that living up to my ideals. I had an ideal. We had a sacred circle, and I wanted it to be a sacred circle. And yes, I issued an ultimatum with that. And I'm here to tell you today that my ultimatum was, let's look at the traditions. Let's sit down and bring this program back into our home. Let's see if we can make this work. And if you'd agree to that, and there were a couple other things, but that's his business, and I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, if you'd agree to that, I'd be okay with you staying. And let's try this for a year. We've gotten through 8 traditions, and what we did was we took a list of traditions that are non-approved from anywhere, but somebody wrote them, and he found them in a drawer at one of our workshops, and they seemed to work, and we've been asking the questions, and we'll take the questions, and we'll come back, and we'll read them to each other, and it's been really, really powerful. And just recently, we started a traditions workshop in our home doing the same thing. I cannot begin to express the gratitude I have, number one, for the steps telling me to work on me. I don't work on my relationship. It doesn't work when I do, because I'm trying to fix him when I do that. It only works when I work on me. But these traditions gave us something that was so extra. If this isn't phenomenal, right, then I don't, what is it, 12 years later that Bill came up with these traditions? I don't remember. I don't know. But the co-founder of AA came up with these traditions because AA was falling apart. And what a beautiful thing to bring into our relationship. We sat down and decided, what is our common goal? We didn't know. I didn't know. What is it? It's to be an expression of God's love. And we did scream and yell and fight and throw things and break. I broke a door. How many years have I been in this program? I broke the dang door. I'm going, really, Jackie, you're insane. There's a tradition that talks about avoiding heated controversy. Maybe if I just say it another way, he'll get my point. And then the principles are the spiritual foundation. A principle is a fundamental truth. And the principle of the 12th tradition is selflessness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. My heroes are here. Some of them still living, some of them not. But they're here. They're giving this thing away. They're not saying no to people. They're not telling somebody when they come up and say, will you be my sponsor? No. What is that? I don't know. They're saying yes. I was taught to say yes. I was given a gift. I can't keep it. And today, I can't even put into words. I had short-term relationships before this program. I had very few friends. Nobody wanted to be a friend of mine. I don't blame them. I wasn't very nice. And I'm married to a man that I love deeply. We have children that talk to us. Oh, I didn't talk to my parents for a long, long time. And on top of that, I talk to my mother. I call her once a week. I listen to everything she has to say, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love being able to love my mother, because for a long, long time, I wasn't able to. And that's recovery in relationships. Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thank you, Jackie. This time we'd like to open the mic up to anybody who'd like to share anything that's on their heart and their mind. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Chris. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. And I was really lucky to, I'd like to say I was lucky that I found my sponsor. I was lucky that God put my sponsor in my path. Because early on in my program, she said something about working the steps, the traditions, and the concepts, which I thought meant when I work 12 steps, then 12 traditions, then 12 concepts, I can graduate and get out of here. Thankfully, by the time I got done with the 12 steps, I was grateful to be in this program for life. Working the 12 steps got me better. Got me better with situations, got me better with work, got me better with a lot of things about me. When I decided to work the 12 traditions, the rest of my life just fell into place. I now know how to have, it's a program of relationships. I came here because I love my loved ones, and I want to continue to love my loved ones and not hate them and resent them because of my own thought process. I wanted to learn how to be in relationships with people around me and not just think I could own everyone and what they should do. When I worked the traditions, I learned, because I had already seen them working in the rooms. I had seen all the traditions, the group consciences, all the stuff that works in Al-Anon and makes the program work. And I've seen this program for years and years and years continue to go on, even with a bunch of crazy people in it. Like, I work in education. A lot of crazy people work there, too. We can't get done. Nothing can get done because it's just a bunch of insanity going on. You get those same crazy people in the rooms of Al-Anon, and all of a sudden, we can function as a group of people with different ideals and demographics and needs and wants. I think the one that kicked it for me for real, the one that really, I think, solidifies my relationships, at least with my family, was spoken about with the panel, was Tradition 6. The idea that I am a separate entity from my alcoholics. My alcoholics' bad behavior doesn't actually reflect on me. Nobody looks at my mother behaving badly and goes, "Oh, Chris, did you just see what she did? I can't believe you'd let her get away with that. Can't believe you couldn't stop her. I can't believe you didn't get, you know, gee, why would you let your mother behave that way?" No one's ever said that to me. But because I was so differently attached to my mother, her behavior reflected upon my being. What I like is this last part of that tradition that says, I will always cooperate with my alcoholic. I'm not attached to her. Her behavior does not reflect upon me. I am my own person. But I can cooperate. And I'm really more of a punisher than a cooperator, so that was kind of a big deal for me. Like, oh, I'm a separate entity, and that doesn't mean I then get to punish you for being separate from me. I get to cooperate with you and work with you. My relationships in my family are much different, and in my work are much different, and my family is currently imploding. The disease is blowing up my family, and I don't have to be a part of that. I get to be a loving cousin and niece and daughter, and I get to be present for anybody who needs me whenever they need me, and I don't have to be in the drama. And I love every one of them, regardless of the infighting they may have going on. So I'm looking forward to working the 12 concepts and graduating. Never. Thank you for this program, and thank you for my life.
Hi, I'm Kiri. Grateful member of Al-Anon. Thank you guys so much. That was so fantastic. And there's been a couple of things that have happened in my program that have really helped me have. I have an amazing husband. We have an amazing relationship. And it is not through my own ability at all. First thing that happened, I was in a relationship when I came into Al-Anon. When we broke up, my sponsor said, because I said, I really want a different kind of relationship. And she said, that's great. So why don't you sit down and write down everything that you are looking for in a partner? And I was like, awesome. So I made my shopping list and I gave it to her and she said, good, now become those things. I was not happy about that. But that was the whole thing, is that water seeks its own level. You know, if I want somebody who's going to be kind and loving and spiritual, I need to be kind and loving and spiritual. Another thing that I have a friend in Al-Anon who says that being in a relationship is like putting Miracle-Gro on our defects of character. So continuing to work the steps is very, very important in my life. But one of my favorite things, my mom told me a story one time, and she and my stepdad did not always have a great relationship. She's the child of two alcoholics, and, you know, she's had her own path. But today they are, like, so in love. It's stupid weird. And she was telling me a story about how after all the kids moved out of the house, suddenly things got a lot better. But after all the kids moved out of the house, like, she didn't have to get up first thing in the morning anymore to get people off to school. And she was self-employed, and so she could sleep in. But he was still employed outside the home, and he would get up, and he had to be at work at 7 o'clock. So he would wake her up in the morning, every morning, after he got dressed, and he would say, it's like 5:30 in the morning, okay? And he would say, "How do I look?" And she said that what she wanted to say was, "You look the same as you always look, except you and the suit are both older." But she never said that. What she said was, "You look so handsome. I can't wait till you retire. I wish you could stay in bed with me today." And that was a big lesson for me, because I feel like if I don't say everything that's going on with me at every moment of the day, I'm not being honest in my relationship. But there are different levels of honesty, right? There's my immediate thought, my little honesty, but then there's the bigger truth of, this is a man who I care about, who I want to have a life with and build a life with, and I get to treat him as such. And sometimes that means that the immediate truth in my mouth gets to stay in my mouth. And God, give me the grace to keep my tongue in my face, right? And one of the best prayers ever, right? We do have a loving and what I consider a very honest relationship. But some of that honesty means when I get upset with him, my first phone call is to my sponsor or to an Al-Anon friend who has me look at my part and has me ask myself, how important is it? Because sometimes, most of the time, 99.4% of the time, it's my stuff. There's really only about 0.6% of the stuff that we actually have to have a conversation, because it falls into that bigger truth. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kathy. My home group is Silverthorn. And I just wanted to say, y'all have been so incredible. 4 years ago, I was a major mess. But through a wonderful sponsor, she got me out of my shit, and I am such a better person now. And my boyfriend and I have been together for 16 years, and we treat each other with patience, tolerance, lovingness, and kindness, and we have a great relationship, if nothing else. He's never cheated on me. We always speak the truth to each other. We're always honest with each other, and I just have to say that this program has been the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. Alcoholism runs in his family and not mine. And when I first went to Al-Anon, you know, I thank you so much for taking me in when you did, because I would be dead if I didn't have you. And anyway, I just want to say I'm really happy. Despite, this is just a very spiritual relationship right now. I always get very teary-eyed, and I love what y'all all said. Jackie, you rock. I love everything you said. All y'all were wonderful up there, and this program has been the best thing for me. Y'all are my second family. And anyway, I love y'all. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Heidi. I'm Al-Anon. My birthday was May 20th, 5 years ago? I don't know. I've been coming here for 5 years. But my qualifier is not my husband. It's my sister, and she's still very sick. But this program saved my marriage. And my sponsor, who was here, oh, she's still here, she told me the next thing we're going to do is we're going to work the traditions as they relate to our relationships. So I'm so excited, because I'm almost there. And I have to say, more than anything, this program has helped me in my relationships, and not my relationship so much with my alcoholic, because I don't have much of one with her because she's so sick and I can't do it, but with my mother and with my husband and with my children, who I used to scream at, and I don't do that anymore, and I'm so grateful about that. and grateful to have you guys, and grateful to have sisters and a sponsor, and all of you guys who I consider to be my family as well. Thanks.
I'm Marilyn, grateful Al-Anon. My husband, who is also in Al-Anon, does not speak a lot about his feelings. But every once in a while, he does. And I was sitting over there realizing that there came a time in our relationship, and I can't tell you exactly when it was. It was sometime in the past 5 years, when I quit thinking that every time we disagreed about something, that I better start thinking about how we were going to divide the assets and how would I survive financially and are there any other men on the horizon, and realized that truly, God willing, this is the man I want to grow old with. And at that point, we had like a rebirth, because I talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, I'm going through that same thing. I want to grow old with you, you know? And he said to me the other day, I was thinking, what would happen if one day you just came home and out of the blue you said, we're done? And that's kind of his way of saying I'm feeling a little insecure. And I realized how important it is to say the words out loud, you know, to this person who is the most treasured person in my life, that I need to treat him the way I would treat the most treasured person in my program. And I said to him, you are the love of my life. I am not planning on going anywhere, and I am so glad that I get to grow old with you. I think we think that they already know, you know, and I need to take the time to talk to him. He did not plan to come up here this weekend. He asked me on Friday, how are you doing and do you miss me? And I said, I'm doing fine, because we're not very attached at the hip, and we can do a lot of things separately. And I said, I do miss you. I wish you were here. So he's going to be here in a couple hours, because my soul misses him. And how fortunate am I to have another person in my life where my soul misses him? And my heart sings when he walks into the room, you know? And when I get to put my hand up across that bristly beard and give him a kiss hello, it makes a difference in my world. So, you know, our common welfare should come first. Our unity sometimes depends on treating other people as if they are the most treasured person in the world. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Jessica. Come to the end of our time. Burning desire?
I have.
Do it.
I do have a burning desire. My name's Edward Bartholik, Tuesday Night Joy, Denver, Colorado. Thank you to all the women who have shared. I felt a burning desire to share on behalf of the men. Everything that has been said by the women, I can attest to, is also felt by the men. My personal favorite traditions as it relates to relationship is number 11. My public relation policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. I need to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, etc. So no nude pictures of me out on the internet, thank God. So that I am being anonymous. But in all seriousness, the attractiveness is what has always drawn me to other people. So the folks that I have been in relationships with, there's a quality in them that I have found attractive. And this is, you know, spinning off of what Kiri said, which is, if I want to be loved, I need to be a lovable person. If I want to be respected, I need to do respectable things to other people. If I need to be fun and charming in public, well, then I need to have some interests that I can share in conversation with people. I cannot just be cloistered in my own little world. And you know, those three things and several others were major mistakes in my relationships that I've had with people over the years, in that, you know, I was always half a person who thought that joining another half of a person would create a whole relationship. And in my experience, it's worked much better the other way around, which is I can be a full and complete person who is autonomous, who is financially responsible, who has outside interests, and then voluntarily merge that in with another person who has those same interests and some commonality that we find. And that, you know, somehow in the energy of the universe, the combining of those two things creates something far beyond a whole. And that has really worked so much better for me than the opposite. And so from the point of view of the traditions, I really do think that it's important for me as an individual to apply those to my life individually. The other thing that I have found particularly powerful, and I don't know if my sponsor is here or not, but my sponsor shows me in very tangible ways what goes on in her relationship with her spouse. I can see their successes. I can see their trials. I can see how they apply the traditions and the principles and the concepts and the steps and, you know, on and on. And from the point of view of being a sponsor to other people, I am now focusing on doing that as well. It's like, you know, there's some lines of thought about having the sponsees come to your house so that they can see how sane people live. And to me, it's been really powerful to go to my sponsor's house and not just see that it's possible to have a partner, but to see that demonstrated and to have the practical, tangible application of this toolkit. And thank you so much for letting me have the burning desire.
Thank you, everybody. I want to thank Shannon, Suzanne, and Jackie for sharing, and I want to thank those who came up to the mic, Chris, Kiri, Kathy, Heidi, Marilyn, and Edward. Thank you so much. This is a new experiment, so I encourage you all to attend the Conscience of the Conference and tell us all what you thought about it. That will be at 9 a.m. tomorrow. By group conscience, the Fellowship of the Spirit does not close each meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Instead, we encourage the entire conference be treated with an attitude of continuous prayer. We will then say the Lord's Prayer together at the close of this conference on Sunday. Please help me close this meeting by joining hands for a moment of silence. Let us share our spiritual experiences and strengths with each other so that we may grow together in greater understanding and love.